Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Creditaccess Grameen 3Q FY24 Results Earnings Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajit Kumar from Nomura. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Jiko. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Nomura, I welcome everyone to 3Q FY24 Earnings Conference Call of Creditaccess Grameen. From the management team, we have with us today Mr. Udaya Kumar Hebbar, Managing Director, Mr. Ganesh Narayanan, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Balakrishna Kamath, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Nilesh Dalvi, Senior Vice President and Head Investor Relations. We will start with the opening remarks and then open the floor for Q&A. I'll now hand over the call to MD sir for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good evening and wishing you all a prosperous New Year and Sankranti. We thank you all for joining the conference call to discuss our third quarter and nine months of financial year 2024 performance. This quarter holds a special significance in our 25 years of inclusive journey as we redefined many possibilities and continue to display the benchmark standards of excellence in microfinance business. Our profitability milestone touched a new mark as we recorded profit after tax of rupees 1,049 crore for nine-month FY24, way higher than full year of FY23, which was rupees 533 crore. We successfully completed the core banking solution upgrade, enabling significant business scalability and making us future-ready. We received a credit rating upgrade by CRISIL from A+ positive to AA- stable, making us the highest-rated standalone microfinance company in India by three credit rating agencies. Further, we are honored with renowned accolades such as Microfinance Organization of the Year at Global Inclusive Finance Summit 2023 and Best Small NBFC 2023 at the Mint BFSI Awards Summit 2023. We trust of our growth story revolves around customer additions as we added 14.86 lakh customers in the past 12 months, of which 44% came outside the top three states. The customer base grew by 90.2% YoY to 46.93 lakhs, while the AUM grew 31.5% YoY to rupees 23,382 crore at the end of Q3 FY24. Disbursements grew by 10.3% YoY in Q3 FY24 to rupees 5,344 crore. Business momentum was temporarily impacted during two, three weeks in November 2023 as we completed the major core banking system upgrade and migration process. It subsequently returned to normalcy in December 2023, witnessing a disbursement of rupees 2,247 crore and a new borrower addition of 1.2 lakhs during the month. We opened 70 new branches during the third quarter, taking the total branch strength to 1,894 spread across 367 districts. Our average marginal cost of borrowing for Q3 FY24 stood at 9.8% and 9.7% respectively. We believe that our cost of borrowing should remain stable going forward in the near term. We draw good comfort from our diversified liability profile with continued access to funds from domestic and international lenders, improved credit ratings, also well-capitalized balance sheet to maintain sufficient liquidity and strong control on our borrowing cost. The interest income grew by 45.6% YoY to rupees 1,245 crore. The net interest income grew by 41.6% YoY to rupees 802 crore. Net interest margin stood firm at 13.1%. Operating cost efficiency further improved with a cost-to-income ratio of 29.5% and OPEX to AUM at 4.4% for the quarter. PPOP stood strong at rupees 602 crore, growing by 58.6% YoY. The gross credit cost stood at rupees 126 crore, partially offset by rupees 10.9 crore of bad debt recovery, resulting in a net credit cost of 0.5% for Q3 FY24. Our net credit cost during 9-month FY24 stands at 1.3%. Collection efficiency, excluding arrears, stood at 98.3%. GNPA measured as secured DPD was at 0.97% compared to 0.77% in Q2 FY24, whereas net NPA was only at 0.29%. Our PAR 90 plus was at 0.75%. The PAT grew 63.8% YOY to Rs. 353 crore, resulting in ROA of 5.5% and ROE of 23.6%. Over nine months of FY24, ROA stood at 5.6% and ROE at 24.8%. Capital adequacy remained comfortable at 24.5% at the end of Q3 FY24. I shall now briefly discuss the small increase in overall PAR and GNPA during Q3 FY24. As shown in the slide 7 in the result presentation, the fresh PAR acquisition during 9-month FY24 has been within the guided range. The PAR increase during Q3 FY24 was primarily driven by seasonality factors, slightly higher steady state delinquencies outside Karnataka, and the temporary impact of floods in Tamil Nadu. The PAR in flood-impacted Tamil Nadu branches has been coming down as we continue to witness strong recoveries. The increase in the NPA during Q3 FY24 was on account of business as usual slippage and higher steady state delinquencies outside Karnataka. The ECL provisioning rates both for standard and delinquent loans are higher in other states versus Karnataka. Hence, higher growth outside Karnataka will result in slightly higher ECL provisioning. However, this will be adequately compensated by higher loan pricing in the other states. I would like to inform you all that the company has reduced the lending rate by 50 bps for both MFI business as well as retail finance business during December and January, based on our board-approved pricing policy. The company reviews the lending rates every quarter, and the current rate cut has been on the back of consistent improvement in operating efficiency and stability in cost of borrowing and cost of borrowing trend over coming quarters. We expect to maintain guided NIMs as the full impact of revised pricing on portfolio yield will be gradually realized over coming 18 to 20 months. Our proactive strategy of diversifying our liability profile has been executed very well over last 6 to 8 quarters. As on December 23, our share of foreign borrowings stood at 21.5% and the bank borrowings at 50.4%. The share of long-term borrowings stood at 75%. We maintained a healthy positive ALM mismatch with the average maturity of assets at 18.7 months and the average maturity of liabilities at 24.4 months. We have always believed that the quality of lending business is equally determined by the quality of liability for achieving a sustainable growth. I would like to draw your attention to the major technology project that took place in this quarter with minimal business impact. We successfully upgraded our core banking solution, which was implemented in 2015. This upgrade will lead to improved business scalability and meet increased business requirements, which shall have enhanced functional process flexibility and product customization, leading to faster go-to-market. Our detailed initiatives, improved decision-making, and risk management capabilities will enhance our responsiveness to evolving customer requirements. In our growth story, technology is just not an enabler, but a business partner, and hence, which is a big step in that direction. Lastly, we reiterate our guidance for this financial year. Thank you for all your valuable time. We look forward to answering all your queries during our Q&A session. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. first question is from the line of Rajiv Mehta from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congratulations on good numbers and thank you for taking my question. Firstly, sir, thank you for giving a very granular disclosure on asset quality and PAR movement. So my first question is, you know, given that the PAR situation is fast normalizing in the impacted states or districts of Tamil Nadu, would it be right to presume that our collection efficiency, which had dipped, and credit costs, which had slightly spiked in Q3, should normalize or should come back to Q1, Q2 levels in Q4 if all the other regions hold up?
See, Q1, Q2 was little, you know, much better than what we anticipated, but Q4 we expect this to come back to normalcy and we should be within our guided numbers, Rajiv.
Okay. And sir, also now that you have implemented the CBS upgrade, can you quantify, you know, the efficiency increase post this, maybe in terms of business or in terms of disbursement run rate for the same branches, same LOs, does the disbursement capacity go up by 5-10%, 15% more? Does it have any effect like that?
No, I think it is not just the disbursement actually, it's a lot of other factors involved. It involves the scalability for the future. It involves in digitalization of many of our future efforts in digital learning area. And then we also the risk and risk mitigation and control areas. It also improves the efficiency of, you know, center management, group management, location management, the route, travel route management. So many, many different factors we actually baked in this upgrade. So I think it will be a overall, it takes little more time, maybe 2-3 quarters to give a significant benefit to us. It will give benefit in all round areas. It's not that one area, I could say. It will help us to go to market faster. It will help us to improve the paperless processing or a speed in decision making. So many different areas it works. So disbursement definitely go up in the process itself.
Got it. Just last thing on this lending rate, we have cut by 50 basis points. So, you've kind of broadly explained, but still I would want to ask you that, you know, we haven't seen any cost of funds reduction so far, and we're expecting only stabilization going ahead. And we are already the lowest cost lender in microfinance. What prompted us to cut rates, you know, slightly early?
See, pricing policy is determined by four factors. One is your credit cost, other is the operating cost, one is the funding cost, and the your capital cost. So we review this all three costs, four costs every quarter. So you have seen that actually we have made the pricing policy initially based on the overall operating cost around 5%, because we presume that it will be for a longer term as the new RBI guidelines will make little higher costs because of the various factors there. But as we kept on reviewing it, now we are in a stable situation. If you see, our cost has come down by almost 50 bits. So automatically, it makes us to pass on that benefit to customer, because this is part of the pricing policy. It is not the one, only borrowing cost will change and will pass on. So it is completely based on the existing policy, which need to be reviewed regularly. So even tomorrow, say credit cost will go up next quarter, for example, 25 bps. Then we will have to go back and see whether we have to increase the price. Or credit cost goes down by 25 bps. So we have to go back and check. So the policy clearly defines every quarter to review and the recheck. So it is going by that process, Rajiv.
Got that. So basically, there was no competitive or growth angle in this decision making.
No. Not specifically that. It's more of a policy, and then we have to go by policy.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much, Investor.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the queue. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrawal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you and good evening, everyone. So just kind of circling back to the cut that we have done, the lending rates for about 50 basis points. I'm sure you would have followed that. I mean, another NBFC which reported shared yesterday that they have also cut their lending rates by 50 basis points. So understandably, you have said in your opening remarks as well as in your presentations why you did that and the pricing policy which is in place. I just wanted to kind of reconfirm that, I mean, all the noise around and around RBI saying that the kind of net interest margins and eventually even ROAs that MFIs are making, there's not been any soft, even soft communication from the RBI, right, which is prompting lenders to review their lending rates.
So, I mean, when we, if an institution not form the right policy and not right disclosures in the policy, definitely RBI will keep harping and repeating the comments actually. So we have a rate pricing policy. We kept on reviewing the policy every quarter. So this movement is basically based on our reviews. But regulator will actually keep, might asking, you know, if there's a big change in the pricing, if there's a big change in the overall cost to customer. So they will always ask the industry to respond and review the policy. I think that they are doing their job definitely. So we are doing our responsible lending practices. We keep reviewing the pricings. So our passing on benefit is fully based on the pricing policy review.
Then my second question was on, I mean, again, asset quality. I mean, you have, I mean, articulated the impact which was there from the Tamil Nadu floods. But, I mean, what we have recently started hearing is that MFI players are kind of also looking at calibrating their business growth in a few states. So for you outside Karnataka, so non-Karnataka, non-Tamil Nadu states, are you seeing, I mean, higher PAR in particular states where delinquencies are higher and you are maybe looking to calibrate your growth in some of those states? If you can speak about a few states, if at all.
So there's no significant change in any states, but the overall, if you see about 10 bps difference compared to last quarter to this quarter in the non-Karnataka area, particularly coming from north part of Gujarat and some part of Rajasthan, which was some kind of migration and all of that. We are always very careful in those belts. So to that extent, we have seen little variation, but we are not seeing any significant variation in any of our geographies.
And so just in the interest of time, I wanted to squeeze in one last question. This time around, I mean, OPEX, whether we look at OPEX to EM or cost income ratios have settled lower than where we used to be in the past, even lower than the last couple of quarters, I would say. So, I mean, now given that you, I mean, have been acknowledging that there is positive operating leverage that you are seeing, Where, on a steady state basis, can either of these OPEX to AM or cost income ratio settle? And so, I mean, another question I remember noticing, just maybe nitpicking, we have added a few branches, around 17 branches this quarter. Despite that, about 250, 300 decline is there in the number of loan officers that you've reported. Is this usual attrition or, I mean, how to kind of explain that?
You know, so the few variation in loan officers at the quarter end is nothing to do with quarter end. Maybe very small variation. There may be some attrition and some, but we have actually higher employees last quarter actually, if you see. We are planning to open more branches, therefore we are hiring more also. So we don't have any shortage of employees in any area. It may be a number of loan officers which are allocated to different branches, maybe on training right now. Therefore, they may not be in the loan officers bucket right now. So we have sufficient recruitment in place even for opening branches for next quarter also. That's on your second question. And the first question is about the, what is that actually? OpEx to revenue. For the quarter, it is low at 4.4%, or if you look at the 9 months, it is 4.5%. So we are looking at least in near term between 4.5 to 4.6% only. So and then the cost to income between 31 to 32% kind of thing. That is what will be steady state cost to income ratio we are expecting.
This is very useful. Thank you very much, and all the very best to you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Shweta Daptagar from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. A couple of questions. If I look quarter on quarter, Tamil Nadu portfolio, so while the loan book has definitely marginally sort of increased, but if you look at the number of borrowers, that has slightly come down. So is it that we are slightly calibrating here after the flood impact, or the business is already normalized in the entire region?
Yes, I couldn't get your question. So
if I look quarter on quarter movement in Tamil Nadu belt, so if you look at the loan book, that has actually gone tagged higher on sequential basis, but the number of borrowers. Hello, so am I audible?
Correct. Don't tell me. So,
yeah.
So there is a small dip in the borrower. Huh?
Yeah. So despite the flood impact, the book as well as the borrower has slightly gone higher quarter on quarter sequentially in Tamil Nadu portfolio, in Tamil Nadu geography.
Shweta, flood impact happened on 15th December. We have grown from 1st October to 15th December, right? So only four districts in the on 15th December. Afterwards, we had, or 22nd December, sorry, we had some impact. Right? Till then, we have grown for both portfolio as well as customer, both we have grown actually. So I think we are not reduced any growth. On that four districts, of course, it will take some time to come back normalcy. So it's already working on that. Other departments of Karnataka, we are growing. There is no problem there. So number of borrower direction to some is not direction actually. It has gone up only. Borrower gone up, okay. Portfolio gone up, both gone up in Tamil Nadu.
Okay, understood.
You don't know where the data, when is that check?
Okay, got it. So as far as the unique borrower count is concerned, what is the number today?
We are about 33-34%.
So if I compare with corresponding quarter last year, we definitely were north of 40%. So is this an outcome of growing outside the home turf, or is the trend which we'll continue to see going on for Credact?
Yeah, I think if we have to be competitively grow in this segment, you need to attract customers from other MFIs. If we attract customers from other MFIs, your unique count will come down for a period of time. So I think it is no different than growing in all the areas and then competitively advancing. So, but the good part is when the customer in the other MFI who joins us, we are seeing in a year almost 11% of them becoming unique customer to us. So while joining, obviously they will be in some other MFI, and we are seeing that kind of migration from MFI to us. So I think it's a good part of our expansion trajectory.
So just a follow-up there, on similar lines, the first cycle ticket size have also been increasing, right, for us?
No, if you look at the slide, or continuously, consistently, or less than 3 years bucket is same, 40,000 to 40,000 in the last four quarters.
Okay, so that was always around 40,000 plus. It was never lower than that.
Correct.
Okay.
You're right.
Got it. Thank you. That's all for me.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Piran Engineer from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Congrats on the quarter. And I dialed in a bit late, so I apologize if this is repeated. Just firstly, our client addition of 90,000 was weaker than our usual run rate, right? So, any particular thing to read into this?
I think you missed that we actually grow. I mean, what you call, that's an impact about 2 to 3 weeks in November. If you read the slide 6, we mentioned that actually there was a lesser disbursement, lesser customer acquisition November because of our core banking system upgrade. And we came back in December. So some extent there is a dip in the actual borrowers. Whereas customer acquisition still on a quite 2.7 lakh growth in this quarter. So which gets converted in over a period of time.
But sir, I think 1 month's worth of customer acquisition also, if you count, it would have, instead of 90,000, it would have been 135,000. So it's much lower than what it was last quarter.
There's a 1 lakh difference because previous quarter we acquired 3.7 lakh customer and this quarter we acquired 2.7 lakh. There's a 1 lakh difference is there in the acquisition. So the borrower growth is not just the acquisition. You are having the release and the, what you call, attrition also comes there. Attrition rate of both comes in the quarter also. You need to look for a longer period. We have actually mentioned specifically the 12 months, how much we acquired, how much attrited, how much written off, everything. So therefore, I think in a quarter, based on this data, we cannot presume that the growth is low, correct? We had a 19.5%, a 21.5% customer growth in the 12 months' time.
I mean, yeah, okay. So let me ask in another way. For the full year, are we still confident of 25% growth?
Yeah, we reiterated that
growth.
Yeah, we reached all the guidances. We reiterate that we will be able to deliver.
Okay, fair enough. So secondly, just our OpEx is down QOQ. Can you just remind us what happened there?
So we become more efficient. Obviously, we normally actually efficient OpEx. If you see the always trajectories, first quarter OpEx will go up, second quarter little down, third quarter little down, fourth quarter further down. These are normal trajectory in the microfinance business. But we are little higher because there is one component about 5 crores. There is a reversal in the Q3, which is employee cost, which was provided higher in the previous quarter. To that extent, this is small aberration actually. Otherwise, it's in the normal steady state numbers.
Okay. Fair enough. So, just last question. Don't need to harp too much on this. So, the 50 basis points, interest rate reduction that you have done, how would you think about revising your NIM guidance for next year? Now, one quarter things will not change, but for FY 2025.
No, it needs, it takes almost 20 months to give you impact of this. It won't happen in 2 quarters or 1 quarter, 2 quarter actually. It has a 50 basis points divided by for 40 months. That's the impact actually. So it won't impact anything, majorly in any of our quarters. And in the meantime, there will be changes in the quarter borrowing. We see the steady state. There will be change there also. So we can keep checking that again and again. We don't see any major impact on our NIM guidances because of this rate cut.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Omkar Kamtekar from Bonanza Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Hello?
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 Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Yes. So first question is with respect to the core banking system upgrade that we have upgraded. So technically speaking, with this upgrade, we will be effectively a bank at scale and technology. Would that be a fair assumption?
Absolutely, you're right.
Okay. So in effect, we are a MFI banking company. And with respect to that, then when we are also planning to expand ourselves, our presence in other other location and the branch additions that we have made. We have added 17 odd branches in the quarter and over 100 branches in the 9 months. So incrementally, how are we looking to expand? Are we looking to expand in non-geographies that we are not present, or we are further going deeper into the existing geographies? How is the branch addition going to look ahead?
Okay. Thanks, Omkar. Omkar, most of our expansion has been in our newer geographies, right? So when I say we are not entering new states, wherever we are in our 16 states, leaving our top 3-4 states, our expansion and branches would be significant in the other states. In the top 3-4 states, our expansion will only be by way of split branches because of the size of the branch.
Okay. When we expand in other states, it's always a district-based expansion going into on the contiguous districts only.
Okay, so what we do is we are tapping into the districts of the particular, so say for example if it is Kerala, so in specific districts that we have not covered, we enter those first and then we move out of the state. Correct. If it is completely saturated. So that's the way it is.
Yes.
Okay. Correct. And just a clarification, I would want your understanding on. So effectively, we with our OPEX to AUM also coming down, staying lower, cost to incomes also being near industry leading at 31% odd. So I would want to understand how are we able to sustain this, and this effectively becomes like a cost leadership advantage for us. So how can you please give us a color some of as to how are we able to sustain it, and is this sustainable for say 2, 3, 4 years also, 2 or 3 years, 3, 4 years would be, but 2 or 3 years?
We believe this is sustainable because we have been sustainable at less than 35% continuously as so far because of the low operating costs, low borrowing costs, as well as better NIM what we have. I think we expect further improvement in efficiencies also. We strongly believe that we can remain between 31 to 33% of cost to income ratio going forward.
Okay. I have a few more questions, but I'll join back in the queue. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Nidesh from Investec. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. So firstly, on the asset quality, there is also a bit of a uptick in the PAR 30 number from 90 basis point to 120 basis point. So what explains that?
That's actually the slight increase in other states, that is what we said. There's some seasonality factors normally in the Q2, Q3. So to that extent, there's increase in the PAR 30. But it is much, you know, is equal to Q1 or PAR 31st to some extent. So we always believe that, you know, every Q2, Q3, due to rain, due to holiday, due to festival, sometimes there is a impact. To some extent, there's an impact.
Sure, sir. Secondly, what is the customer acquisition number for the last quarter? This quarter we have disclosed around 2 lakh, but for the last quarter, what was the number?
Previous quarter, 3.3 lakhs and 2.7 lakh. 2.7 Q3, 3.3 lakh Q2.
Okay, so 3.3 has become 2.7 just because of the 2 weeks of, 2 or 3 weeks of delay.
So November is a half month. Correct.
So out of this 2.7 lakh customer that we have acquired, how many are new to credit, new to microfinance sector?
Almost 33%, Nidesh.
Okay, so that trend still remains. Even the new geographies, yeah. And we are still able to get 33%.
Yeah. Correct.
And then lastly, on the retail finance side, what share of the book which will be unsecured, which is the individual loans to customer, and what is the secured portfolio there?
The total retail portion is around 2.1%, of which I think majority at this point of time will be the unsecured graduated loans, because the mortgage book, yeah, 80% is unsecured loans, the other 20% is your secured book.
Okay, sure. Okay, sir, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Nilesh.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Abhishek Murarka from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and congratulations for the quarter again. Can you talk a little bit about the borrowings? You'd been bringing down your bank borrowings for a while, and again, this quarter we've seen a bit of an increase, especially in light of, the fact that this is the quarter where probably there would have been an increase in the cost as well because of the RBI circular. And also your marginal cost is now almost equal to your outstanding book cost and it is inching up. So how do you see that? Can you just talk a little bit about what's the policy and strategy here?
Some contra data, Abhishek. So marginal cost has come down. Bank borrowing also come down from 55% to 50%. Compared to previous quarter.
I think it has gone up, right? Sequentially, amount has gone up.
Amount would have gone up, but the book has grown. No, amount will go up, but the percentage of the bank borrowing has actually come down in terms of overall liability. So value would have gone up because of the overall borrowing would have gone up. That's why actual number would have gone up. And then marginal cost also stable, 9.6 to 9.67, so that also stable. But the bank borrowing might go a little up in the Q4 because we are planning to draw the maximum money from banks in this quarter because there are a lot of sanctions withdrawn from the banks. So that's normally first and second quarter we venture for the other kind of borrowings, and the quarter three and quarter four normally borrow from banks. So but still the idea is always to keep the lower in terms of bank borrowing between 50 to 55%. Balance 45% will be diversified between the international, the DFIs and the NCDs. That's what we are doing. And we believe this will change by 5% for next few years, more 45 to 50, 50 to 55 kind of things.
Okay, and what would be the marginal cost of borrowing from banks, international and DFI today?
Marginal cost of banks may be, I may give you a rough number. Marginal cost from a bank borrowing may be around 9.4 to 9.5%. International may be 9.8 to 9.9%. DFI is also approximately 9.6 to 9.7%. And public deposit also, public NCD also 9.4%.
Okay. So all of it is roughly around your outstanding cost.
Yeah. Correct. That is why average is around 9.8.
Got it. Got it, sir. Thank you. That was my question, and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Omkar Kamtekar from Bonanza Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. So, sir, I wanted to ask about the leverage. So, currently, our ROE is close to 24%, and the ROA is 5.5. So that implies a 4.4 times leverage. What are we looking to maintain this kind of a leverage, or we will be looking at any equity raise or some ways that the leverage does not go really high, or are we looking to increase the leverage?
Just to correct, leverage is 3.5%, not 4.5%. Asset equity, okay. Okay, so we philosophically always want to maintain at least 20% of capital. So currently we are at 24.5%. So we are not expecting to raise any capital for at least next 2 to 3 years time.
Okay. Okay, so in that case, I think the leverage would continue to increase. So if we maintain this kind of ROAs, so the ROE would maybe further ramp up, if that is the case.
May not be, because what we are expecting, the growth and the ROE may be almost equal. Therefore, to large extent, this would remain in the same range bound, actually.
Okay. And lastly, with respect to the retail one, so in the product range sheet that we have mentioned, what I have observed is the average per loan amount of the retail product has increased. So it has increased from 51.2 thousand in previous quarter of the last year to 162.5 in the current. And I think on an overall basis, this will also pull the total borrowing per borrower. So is this trend going to continue, or are we looking to cap it at a certain level?
You will continue to see increase in the average outstanding of retail finance because you are also building your LAP book where your average is over 5 lakhs, right? So as that book moves up, this will keep moving up.
So this will materially move higher. What is the maximum amount? I did not catch that. What is the amount? So that is a retail finance.
In our loan against property, the average ticket size is a little over 5 lakhs.
Okay.
Right? So as that book keeps building up, so the average of retail finance will keep moving up.
So both individual loans as well as LAP, these are the two key retail finance products. Both are higher than the microfinance average actually. So individual loan is in a range of 1.5 lakh kind of average, whereas secured loan, which is LAP, is around 5.7% average currently. So therefore, and this portfolio will keep going up, therefore, retail finance average will go up eventually.
Okay. And from the previous on-call, what I remember, we are looking to increase this to approximately 12 to 15% of the total AUM was the last conversation that we had. Are we looking to keep it at that, or are we improving that to higher levels of the total AUM going ahead?
Yes. So this 12 to 15% is a medium-term guidance that we've given, right? So we stick to that, and we will be range-bound there, yeah.
Okay. Medium-term. Okay. And then the approximate, and just to clarify, on the current guidance of 25% loan growth, I think we'll be close to 2x of the AUM in 3 years' time. That's FY27. The total size of the book will be close to 8 to 7 thousand of the new products. Would that be a fair assumption?
No, sorry. So it's actually, we said that by 27-28, we would reach about 12 to 15%. So okay. By that time, it would reach there. So it's not 3 years, it's 4 years. Yeah. 4 to 5 years.
Okay, pardon me. Okay, I understood that. So by 27-28, we'll be there. So 6 to 7, and understood. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nidesh from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity again. The attrition of the customer is almost 15% of the opening customer base is getting attrited. So any strategy to reduce customer attrition, and what is the reason that we continue to see almost 15% of customers getting attrited in a year's time?
The 15% is a range bound Nidesh, between 85% to 88% is our retention continuously. It's just one of the best retention at this point of time in the industry, probably. I think the retail product what we have launched and piloted and launched now is majorly to address this kind of customers who are graduating from a microfinance, who would expect the better product, higher differentiated products. So therefore, I think as we grow the retail finance, so we will address the majority of the customers who are attriting because of the product gap in us. So that's solved. But the customers who really don't want to borrow or we don't want to lend them, to that extent, always 10 to 12% customers will be there whom we may not want to lend them again. So that is a trend always. Almost 8% of customer we always attract because we don't want to lend to them. About 4 to 5% leaving because they didn't have a proper product with us. So we address that factor right now. So I think going forward, we will be able to retain that kind of customer. So we may retain, the attrition might eventually come back to about 10 to 12% from 15%.
Sure. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kashyap Javeri from MK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much, sir, for the opportunity. Congratulations for a great set of numbers despite some of the events during the quarter. I have two questions. One, if I look at your book in Madhya Pradesh, you know, that's not been, you know, sort of growing for almost about four quarters, stagnant at about 1450 crores. Any particular reason why that's, you know, happening? Second question is on overall ticket size now. If I look at, you know, again, two states, Karnataka as well as MP, you know, ticket sizes are either stagnant or declining. You know, on the overall ticket size, what's the view going forward?
So, Madhya Pradesh specifically, you know, during the year, we saw some vulnerability in some districts, particularly migration, so we are a little slow. But it is not that permanent. Probably we already started going back there. So we fixed some of the issues, whatever there, and we are back into growth. I think we'll grow now in Madhya Pradesh also. Karnataka is always a growth of high single digit. We never wanted to grow very high in Karnataka. So it is not, and our effort was to diversify the other states. Therefore, the focus is more on the newer states in terms of growth. Karnataka is more of retaining our clients and maintaining the high quality portfolio.
Hmm. And overall ticket size, let's say Karnataka is about, let's say, 63,000. Then you have Maharashtra and Tamil Nadu at 53 and 49. And then MP and others at about 42 and 37. Overall, each of these states eventually can converge with Karnataka, or it's Karnataka is different because of our you know, longer term presence there?
No, there are two, three factors. One is about the vintage of the clients, how long customer with us, what type of vintage they are with us. So that determines the ticket size. Second is the income level, what you can give at the first cycle, second cycle, third cycle, based on the income of the client. So some states we may not increase the ticket size at the higher level, even though the vintage is going up. So it cannot be as same compared to Karnataka, but probably our number of customers will go up, not necessarily the same level of ticket size. So we will evolve over a period of time. Only when for example, Tamil Nadu right now is 48,000, not because of the vintage, because we merged the Madura, which used to be very low ticket size also. So that's why it's a little low. That will grow up actually. Maharashtra is a stable state, so it will remain at a 50 to 55,000 average ticket size. So each state will have its own different features, but largely determined by vintage, income of the client. So these two are the key different deciding factors.
Okay, sure. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question of our question and answer session. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you so much, everybody, in participating in the late evening. So we'll catch up next quarter. All the best and have a nice day.
Thank you. On behalf of Nomura and Credit Access Grameen, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.